Good morning, brothers, sisters. It is a blessing. I was already blessed to be in here this morning. just what Paul shared, you know, it's not about ourselves. And then I always tell the children, the kingdom of God is not about self. You know, as we've seen Jesus walk through this life, it was always about others, always helping others, you know, raising people from the dead and healing the sick and feeding the poor or the hungry. I appreciate Brother Paul for sharing that. And also Brother Nate shared. I want to thank you, Nate, for taking your time and your brother and going down there and connecting hearts. And I just had to smile when Nate shared about going to get his luggage, and it's different there in Haiti. You forget about the guy that takes you back into the room, maybe 20 feet from where the office is at. You're gonna have to pay the guy, and just not a dollar. You know, sometimes $10, $20. I remember the first time going down there in Haiti. Oh, it was different for me. They're like, "Give me a dollar. You know, I'll do it. Give me a dollar." Or, "Do you have a dollar?" Everything that you ask them to do, "Give me a dollar." Little boys and bigger ones ask for a little more. But I remember coming back. I think it was Dallas, Texas we flew back into, or Miami, I'm not sure. And we were just marveled, you know, how they asked for money. And we got off, we put all our luggage in a pile there in Dallas, Texas, and the first guy we met was a Haitian carrying a cart. He says, "Give me $20, I'll help you to your next flight." And we just looked at each other and was like, here we are in America, and they're still asking for dollars. But right at first, we told him, "No, we're okay." He said, "Come on, $20, and I'll help you." And we told him no like two or three times, and he was pretty persistent. So finally, we said, "Okay." We was like six of us, seven of us, so each about $3-4, and we give it to him, and we put on his cart, and he said, "Come on, hurry up." He looked at our tickets, and he started walking really fast, and we realized later on. On the plane, that was the best $20 we ever spent, because if we wouldn't have paid this man $20, we would have missed the flight. I know we would have, because he took us out in the road, through customs, back into customs, and we barely made the flight. We just walked right on the plane, the doors closed, and we left. And I can remember sitting there and saying, "And that was $20 spent." So I just think of that when Nate was sharing about how they like money. The song that last song that we sung this morning, Josh sung 576, I believe it was in this purple book. "More love to thee, O Christ, more love to thee. Hear thou that prayer I make on thee. Bended knees, this is my earnest plea." Then it says, "More love, O Christ, to thee. More love to thee. More love to thee." And that is somewhat my heart this morning. I feel that God laid on my heart to share a deeper walk with God. As it talks about in Ephesians, you know, having the fullness of God in the Spirit. And that's what I want to share. And I when the Lord laid on my heart, and I started thinking, oh, this is seemed like maybe out of my comfort zone, but I seen the Lord was also speaking to me that I desire this morning, I can say, a deeper walk with God. I know, yes, I'm a child of God. I'm born again. But I believe that I can go on deeper. As it says in Ephesians, just want to read that just for a minute here. Ephesians, it says, "To know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God." And I feel that people limit themselves, you know, from the fullness by ignoring the Spirit of God when He speaks. So that's what I want to share on a little bit. And I just want to greet you, brothers and sisters, all in the name of Jesus Christ this morning. The one who can save us from our sins, the one that washed us and made us whiter than snow, and He can keep us from that temptation in that hour. And he gives us the power through his Spirit to remain victorious over this sin and in this world. That's why I greet you in his name this morning. And before I begin, I just want to pray. And you can pray for me because I don't know how all this is going to come out. Because to walk in the fullness of God, we need to be obedient to the Spirit of God. And so I'm going to be going to the fullness and to obeying his Spirit. Yes, I believe that when we're born again, we are filled with his Spirit. I believe them two go together, but also I believe that many people are born again, but they limit the Spirit of God in their lives. So I just want to just share briefly. I don't feel that I have a long message here this morning, but what God laid in my heart, I think I can share this fairly. It won't take me long to share this. So before I begin, I think we'll just have a word of prayer. I don't know if a brother or volunteers come up and pray. Brother Toby, would you come up and pray for me?
Yes, Father in heaven, we bow in your presence. We just ask, Lord, for wisdom for Brother Martin here. Father, as he shares your word of life, and that you would just pick him up, Lord, and Lord, set our feet on higher ground, that we could see, Lord, more clear, that we might have that more love to thee, Father. We pray today, we ask the presence of your Spirit to be here among us and help us on. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Toby. And that is my heart here this morning, that it just wouldn't be words come from the Scriptures, words come from my mouth, but it would minister. The Spirit would minister. We know that in Galatians it says that if we walk in the Spirit, we shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Walking in the righteousness and obedience of our Savior Jesus. I just want to start here this morning reading a passage from Joel. We can turn to that, to Joel 2. Verse 28, and I know that's very familiar, which this is translated to the coming of the Holy Spirit, and it's read again in Acts Acts 2 and out there when Jesus came and the on the day of the Pentecost. But I just want to start here in Joel and reading from 28 to 32 about how they prophesied of the outpouring of God's Spirit to come. Starting on 28, and it says, "It shall come to pass afterwards that I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh. And your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men shall dream dreams, and young men shall see visions. And upon the servants, upon the handmaids in these days will I pour out my Spirit. And I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, the blood and the fire and the pillars of smoke." It says, "The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into the moon into blood before that great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass, and whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem, and it shall be deliverance as the Lord hath said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call." And I marvel at this after reading this, the pouring of, he's talking about the outpouring of God's Spirit. You know, this is prophesied hundreds, not, you know, thousands of years before the years of Christ came. And you know, it was God's outpouring of the Holy Spirit. It says it was for all ages, all classes of people, sons and daughters. Accompanying the outpouring of the Spirit will be a full salvation or deliverance for all who put their trust in the Lord as their Redeemer. And we know that says, but without faith it's impossible to please him. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. And I just penciled here that who put their trust in him as the Lord, as Redeemer. And I believe that I'll use this verse several times. It talks about, you know, having the form but denying the power thereof. And I know that you can take that a different way or so. But I believe that, you know, we can be in God. We can be born again, but yet denying the power that God wants to work in us. I believe that we're doing that. You know, I believe we men and women and girls, you know, we're tasting the things of God or of the Spirit. We're just getting our feet wet, and we're satisfied. And I meant getting wet. You know, like when we talk about a hot day and we want to go cool off, and we just don't walk into a pond up to our ankles. Most of us just go and jump in and cool off, you know. And we know that God has much more for us. He wants to take us on much further than that in our life. And I believe that as the Lord, remember, as I shared this, as I'm sharing this, I believe that the Lord was speaking to me first of all in this whole message that He wants to take me in a deeper walk with Him. And I praise the Lord for revealing this to me. And as it shared here in Ephesians 3, I want to read this. It says, "For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, in whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that you may be rooted and grounded in love, and may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and the length and the depth and the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now unto him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. And to him be glory in the churches by Jesus Christ, throughout all ages, the world without end. Amen." And that's the verse that I'm just sort of pondering on. God brought to my attention that we might know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with the whole fullness of God. You know, that we would understand the Scriptures, and that the life and the character and the virtues of God himself may be fully developed in us. You know, that we would have a greater hunger. As I shared about, you know, a lot of people in churches in the world are getting their feet wet. And I believe what I mean by that, they're learning the Word of God. They're memorizing Scriptures. They're memorizing where passages are at, and they have a form about them, and that's all good, is to have to memorize Scriptures, which I could memorize more myself. But I believe I met people that know the Scriptures from inside out. They know from the Genesis and to Exodus through Joshua, Isaiah, and through the New Testament, but yet they don't have the Spirit of God. They're not, if I can say, they're not born again. Then I know people that feel that are born again, and they're limiting the Spirit to work in them. So that's what I'm sharing on. You know, it's like I wrote here just for example. I feel that some of us may be struggling with. Let's say that I have a 6-day walk across the desert. In a hot 100 degree weather, and I'm walking for 3 days, and finally I come to a fountain of water that is shooting out of this desert, just a great fresh water, and there's an apple tree next beside it with a big red apples on it, and after 3 days, you know, you can't go much more than 3 days without water, 3 or 4 days, maybe longer, I don't know, but I know at 3 or 4 days your body starts breaking down. But I go up to this fountain and I take my hand, I stick my hand in here, and I take a little sip of water. Then I go over here and grab this apple, and I take this apple and I pull it up to my nose and I smell it, and it smells good. And I haven't eaten for 3 days, ate for 3 days. But I lay the apple down, and just after that little sip of water, I continue on for the rest of the 3 days journey, the 3 more day journey, which total 6. And we think and say, well, that's foolish. Because very likely, you will not endure that next 3 days without taking water or eating something here by this fountain. What I want to share there, I believe that so often as Christians, we're content with a little what we have, what we know. God says here that He wants us to have that love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that we might be filled with all the fullness. And that is my heart. That, you know, we would just not be dabbling in the Word of God, but we would have an understanding, you know, and be willing. Allow the Spirit, when the Spirit speaks, that we would say, yes, Lord. Yes, Father, I'm willing to go. There's many that are portraying godliness but denying the power thereof. And that says there in 2 Timothy 3, you know, talks about having the power, but having the form, or but denying the power thereof. In Romans 10, there's a few verses here. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. It says, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel, that you might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they have been ignorant of God's righteousness, and going about to establish their righteousness, their own righteousness, but have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God. And ever learning, you know, but never coming to the knowledge of truth. Feel that, you know, to be in harmony with God and to be filled with the Spirit, you know, we need to be willing servants of Christ. As Brother Nate shared a little bit, talked about it's more than just I think he shared a little bit about being obedient. Yeah, about being obedient to the Word of God, and it's important. And we know that, yes, we need to have an understanding. We need to read. We need to have the love of God. But as we, you know, as through His Word or by His Spirit, you know, that we need to trust in Him. But as in Timothy, I got ahead of myself here. In 2 Timothy here, I want to read a passage here before I get to my next. In 2 Timothy, it talks about the steadfastness in the Scriptures. It says, but continuing thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom thou hast learned them. And from a child thou hast known the holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise into salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. And it says, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God, and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction of righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished into all good works. And I just want to read that and say that I'm not taking away of having an understanding. The Scripture is given by inspiration of God. And that's how we know God. Yeah, that's how we find God, yes. But as I shared earlier, that it's more than just having an understanding, knowing it is being obedient and willing and saying yes to God. You know, as two men here that knew God, and we're going to go to Acts 9 here. I'm going to read a little bit here from the conversion of Saul. So if you want to turn there, that'd be good. I want to read from 1 down to 18. I just want to read on men that obeyed the voice of God and what happens here on these two men here. And Saul, yet breathing out threatenings of slaughter against the disciples of the Lord, went into the high priest and desired of him letters to Damascus, to the synagogues, that he be found of this way, whether they were men or women, he might bring them bound into Jerusalem. And as he journeyed, he came near Damascus, and suddenly there shined around him a light from heaven. And he fell to the earth, and he heard a voice saying unto him, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And he said, Who art thou, Lord? And the Lord said, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And he trembled, and astonishedly said, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the city, and you shall be told what thou must do. And the men which journeyed with him stood speechless, hearing a voice, but seeing no man. And Saul arose from the earth, and when his eyes were open, he saw no man. But they led him by the hand and brought him to Damascus, and he was 3 days without sight. Neither did eat nor drink. And there was a certain disciple at Damascus named Ananias. And to him said the Lord in a vision, Ananias. And he said, Behold, I am here, Lord. And the Lord said unto him, Arise, and go into the street which is called Straight, and inquire in the house of Judas for one called Saul of Tarsus. For he beholdeth, he prayeth, and he hath seen a vision, a man named Ananias coming in, and putting his hand on him that he might receive his sight. Then Ananias answered the Lord. Then Ananias answered, Lord, I have heard many things of this man, how much evil he hath done by the saints at Jerusalem. And there he had authority from the chief priest to bind all that call upon the name. But the Lord said unto him, Go thy way, for he is chosen vessel unto me, to bear my name before the Gentiles, and the kings, and the children of Israel. For I will show him how many great things he must suffer for my name's sake. And Ananias went his way and entered into the house, and putting his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord, even Jesus, that appeared unto me, into thee in the way, as thou comest, has sent me, that thou might receive the sight and be filled with the Holy Ghost. And immediately there fell from his eyes as had been scales, and he received sight forthwith, and arose and was baptized. You know, and I see this, Paul laying on the ground trembling and astonished. He said, Lord, what do you want of me? What do you want from me? And the Lord went and told him what he expects from Saul, which this is, this later on they change his name to Paul. So just on children to know this is, he's speaking on Paul's conversion here. And we see the willingness of the heart of Saul here, as you know, how much did Saul know of God? I don't know if he had understanding of any scriptures or not, but as he laid on the floor, he met God, and his first words was, Lord, what do you want of me? And the Lord told him, and Saul here, he was obedient to the word, to the voice of God. And we know it goes on here. He became one of the greatest disciples of the New Testament. And he, you know, and he wrote many of these books because he loved God. He met God on the road to Damascus. And that is my heart, that we would meet God, which I know that most of us in here have. But I feel that there's some that maybe to the age of accountability haven't met God. And what a wasting time that we're having. We're living here without meeting God, and that where he can give us that peace and joy. and we know that he went and died as a martyr. Then we think of Ananias here. He loved God. And when God told him, or not God, it was actually Jesus, God speaking through his son Jesus here, and he says, Ananias, he said, go and tell this man, which called Saul, who he is. And Ananias said, Lord, I know this guy. He has done much evil. And he has the power, you know, to authority from the chief priest to bind and cast him in the prison forever and throw the keys. But the Lord told him, go thy way, for he is chosen. And Ananias said, yes, Lord. And we know these men here were filled with the Spirit, the Holy Ghost of God. Because I just see that the great love of God they had. They were filled with the understanding. They were filled with a deep love of God. And you know, and I come to that point, and I just wrote here, where are we at if God would speak? And God does speak. And this is where I was challenged, and that's why I wrote this down. If God would ask Brother Vince, will you go to Haiti tomorrow? Or ask Toby if he would go to Bolivia. Or Chris, if he would go to Russia, or on and on. Just ask if God would ask you and seek, or ask you, will you go and be my disciple in another country tomorrow or next week? What would our answers be? Can we? Are we able? As Paul here, he was on a whole different assembly here too. He was persecuting and he was killing. But the Lord spoke to him and said, I want you to do this. And Paul said, yes. So in my life, I just wonder if God would speak, you know, yes, I want to make it known that I do, you know, obey the voice of God, you know, for the most part. But I feel that there was a time or so when God spoke to me, and I have to admit, which I did confess, that I hindered maybe, or I lagged at the calling of God. In about seven, eight years ago in my life, when he was speaking to me to not do something, and it was clear, but I didn't heed to that, and it was something in my life that took me on a little circle, and then God forbid that I do that again. But I just saying here, you know, if God would call us to another foreign country, maybe He is. Or what are we doing about it? As you know, I believe that to be filled with the Spirit, to know His, to have a deeper walk, I believe we need to say, "Yes, Lord, I'll go." Lost my thought here. What I was going to share on this yet. We'll leave that for now. But anyway, I see that these men here that was talking about Paul and Ananias here, they were dead to the things around them as it showed in their lives that they became fools for Jesus Christ. They loved God more than anything in this world. The pleasures of this world, the things that God had to offer, or the world has to offer, didn't mean anything to them. They had a love, and that is my heart, that I could have a deeper love of God in my life, a deeper understanding, or deeper walk with Him. You know, as I just want to share a little bit here, talking about, we often say, you know, I'm a Christian, or I'm a Catholic, or I'm a Methodist, and all that. And I was speaking to a man in Michigan City last Saturday. And I got talking with him, and I started talking and sharing with him. He goes, "Well, I'm a Wicca." I'm not sure if any of you guys know what a Wicca is. It's a sort of a cult, evil worship, somewhat similar to American Native religion. And he got on and started sharing some of the things what they are. And it's talking about reincarnation, that after they die, they come back as an animal and all that. And as he started sharing and some of the things, what's all involved, and then I just asked him, "So when you die, what do you want to come back in?" And he goes, "In a bird." He said, "I want to be free. I can just fly away." And as I got talking with him a little deeper, and he had tears in his eyes, and he says, "You know," I asked him, "What do you mean fly away?" He says, "I spent more time in a kennel when I was younger than most dogs do in their lifetime." And I see that he was in bondage through his life, which he's still in bondage. He doesn't have a understanding of God, which I trust is different with him now. But as he was in this kennel, and I found out later on he ended up killing his dad when he got a little older, and now he's back into this prison again. He's in behind these bars, but just not the bars. He's still in sin's prison. He's still in the clutch of the devil. And my heart just ached for that man. And I started sharing with him, you know, that if he wants to be free, I said, "You can be free." I said, "It is in Jesus Christ. As Jesus says that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no man will come to the Father but by me." As I started sharing some of the things with him, and then finally, real quick, he goes, "Well, hey, I said I didn't throw out Christianity. I believe in Christianity too," and it just took me a little bit off guard. Then I just robbed that little parable what Denny Kennison shared there on the plane. I said, "Okay." I said, "You said you're Wicca, but you believe in Christianity." I said, "You know," I said, that can't mix. The devil worship and God. I said, "You either worship one or the other." Then I went on and said, "Okay, let's take away this Wicca religion that you say you believe in. Christianity, let's put away Mennonite, charity, I just named a whole bunch of them, Catholic, Methodist." I said, "Let's put away all that." I said, "Now you understand who Jesus Christ is, right?" And he goes, "Well, yeah, I grew up in a Baptist church. And I believe him, because all the while we had that song service there, and they sung all these songs, he sung word for word every song that gospel echo was sung." And so he did have an understanding, and he grew up in a Baptist church. I said, "Okay, let's do away with all that, all this religion." I said, "Do you love God with all of your heart, with all of your soul? Are you in love with Jesus? Are you the one that created you, and the one that gave you breath, and he gives you life, he gives you health?" I said, are you a fool for him? Would you die for him?" And he just looked at me, And that caught him off guard. I think it was a whole new thought for him that this was more than just a religion. This is having a love for God, having this deep love for Jesus. And I can just remember his thoughts. That was something I shared with him a little bit more. And there was a break came up and I left and I shared with another brother that said, I could just go and talk with this young man. And he went over there and, he shared with him another hour and a half just preaching. And this man just kept looking at him and wasn't saying nothing. But right before we left, he came up. He said, I want to thank you guys. He said, I want to tell you that your labor today didn't go in vain. He says, my mind is swirling. He said, you got me thinking. And I don't know how I got to that point, but I just wanted to share that, you know, that as a family, that we had loving parents, and we had God, you know, spoken in our home, some. But this young man grew up in a home where the love and the Spirit of God was not there. So we're many things to be thankful for. And that is my question to us this morning. Do we love God, our Savior, with all of our heart, soul, and mind? Are we filled with the Holy Spirit of God? Are we dead to ourselves? Are we dead to the things around us? Our sports or work or jobs and or pleasures or vacations? We could go on and on. Does that mean more to us than God? I trust and I pray that it's not. As it says here in Matthew 22, that we must have, which someone shared this in a prayer room this morning, that the greatest commandment that God give us, that Jesus says that thou shalt love thy Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He says this is the first and the greatest commandment. And the second is likened to it, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I trust that it would. It will be dead to the things around us, the things that won't mean anything to us. Which I want to go in here now, as I wrote here, they'll be dead to us as it was in Acts 2, when the Pentecost came. And I want to read that section there, so we can turn to Acts 2 and just to show, read across and see when the Holy Ghost and the Holy Spirit came upon them, what happened to these men. These men, they were changed. They were different. Now that's what I shared with my children this morning. You know, one verse it says here, just before I get to there, it says that others mocked and some said they're full of new wine. And I asked my children this morning, when they go out to a grocery store or when they go out of the home to places, can people see that they're different? Can they see the love of God? Can they say, man, these people, they're like they've been with Jesus, or they have this strange wine. They're drunk with this wine. And this wine is, I pray that it is speaking on Jesus Christ, that we'd be a fool for him. And here in Acts 1, before the disciples went to the day of the Pentecost, Jesus told them, he says, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. And he said unto them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father hath put in his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me, both in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and into the uttermost parts of the earth. And, you know, is that power upon us today? That he says, are we a witness to him? Can people see, as they did here in these disciples? Can they see in us that we are dead to the world around us, that we are different? These people are strange. We're just, you know, I pray that people, that they can. It's because of Jesus living in us, I want to say. Starting in Acts 2, I want to read from 1 to 30, 38. So a little passage here I want to read. And it says that, and when the day of the Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. It says that they were all in one purpose or one mind in one place. And that was to meet Jesus, to meet the Spirit, the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the houses that they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like a fire, and it set upon each one of them. And it says they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with tongues. Their tongues began to speak things that never spoke before. And the Spirit gave them utterance. They gave them boldness to speak the, you know, the things of God. I can remember the day that I know when the Spirit of God filled me, that I didn't care what people thought of me. And I began to speak things that I never spoke before. And I began not saying things that I used to say all the time. And just we need to be filled with this Holy Spirit that he's talking about here. Verse 5, it says, "And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, out of every nation under heaven. Now when there was noise abroad, the multitude came together and were confounded, because that every man heard them speak in their own language. And they were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, Behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? How hear we every man in our own tongue, wherein we were born, the Parthians and Medes and Elamites?" And it goes on to say many of these people, the Cretes and Arabians. And in verse 11, "We do hear the speak in our tongues, the wonderful works of God. And they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, What meaneth this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine." He said, "They're drunk." And I pray that we can be drunk, you know, in Christ Jesus today. Be intoxicated with his teachings and his words, and the Spirit would flow. We allow the Spirit of God to flow through us freely. But Peter stood up here in 14, he says, with 11. He lifted up his voice and he said unto them, "You men of Judea, and all you that dwell in Jerusalem, be that known unto you, and hearken to my words. For these are not drunken men, as you suppose, seeing that it is only the third hour of the day." Possibly was it 3 o'clock? "But this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel." And he goes on and speaks here what Joel spoke there, starting on 17. It says, "And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my Spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And of my servants and of my handmaids, I will pour out in those days of my Spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, and blood and fire, and the vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness, and the moon into blood. Therefore the great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call up the name of the Lord shall be saved. You men of Israel, hear these words. The Jesus of Nazareth, a man approved of God among you by miracles and wonders and signs which God did by him in his midst of you, as you yourselves also know. Him, being delivered by the determinate counsel and foreknowledge of God, you have taken and by wicked hands have crucified and slain, whom God hath raised up, hath loosed the pains of death, because it was not possible that he should be holden of. For David speaketh concerning him, I foresaw the Lord always before my face, for he is on my right hand, that I should not be moved. Therefore did my heart rejoice, and my tongue was glad. Moreover, also my flesh shall rest in hope, because thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt thou suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Thou hast made known to me the ways of life. Thou shalt make me full of joy with thy countenance. Men and brethren, let me freely speak unto you of the patriarch David. This is he, both dead and buried, that his sepulcher is with us this day. Therefore, being a prophet, and knowing that God has sworn an oath to him, that of the fruits of the loins, according to the flesh, he would raise up Christ to sit on the throne. He, seeing this before, spoke of the resurrection of Christ, that his soul was not left in hell, neither his flesh did see corruption. And verse 32, this Jesus hath God raised up, whereof we are all witnesses. Therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, and having received the Father of his promise of the Holy Ghost, he hath shed forth this, which you have now seen and hear. For David is not ascending into the heavens, but he said unto himself, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, until I make thy foes a footstool. Therefore, let us all, the house of Israel, know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ. It says, now when they heard these, it says that they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, Men and brethren, what shall we do? And Peter said unto them, Repent and believe, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Here, you know, just seeing that I believe that it's not talking about baptism you know, here's in the remission of sins before they should receive the gift of the Holy. But I see here that it's all obedience to the Word of God. He says, if you do that, that you can also receive the gift. You will receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And as I read through here and I see what these disciples went on to preach here, they all became, you know, martyrs for the work of Jesus Christ. They were dead. It says in verse Romans 12:1, it says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that we would present our bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is a reasonable service. Then he goes on and says, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And I see that in these brethren as they were obedient to the word and to the Spirit of God. So I just wrote here a few things. I wrote here, so brethren, let's just not sit by an empty well over here. It's an empty well when we got a full one over here. And what I mean is, you know, we have the Word of God. We have the power, all the power in this. And we have the things that needed to be done through Jesus Christ is done. We have access to the fullness of everything that we need in our spiritual life. So let's not be content, you know, just getting our feet wet. Or just getting to know Him. But let's go on, as it says there in Ephesians, that we would go on to the fullness, that we would experience the fullness of God. Let me read that again. And to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Now to Him that is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we think or ask, according to the power that worketh in us. And to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ throughout in. Amen. And I just want to use one more illustration here before I go into closing here. Just I'm not sure if how many of you understand dial-up. When I got my first computer, I had a dial-up. Today we have, you know, a high speed internet. But the dial-up is through the phone line, and in our home we didn't use it much back then. I'm using it more than I did, but you could basically push a button and go do something for a few minutes and come back, and you could hit another word or button, and you could go off, and it was really slow. So we didn't use it a whole lot. But when I needed it more for my work and some other things that were going on, we got high speed. And, you know, high speed, you just push in some buttons, and you push send, and it's gone. But what I want to illustrate here, I believe that there are many Christians today that are satisfied, you know, in this world, just tasting the gifts, tasting the things of God, but not going on to His fullness. And we would say how foolish this would be when we have these two here side by side, and I'm over here using dial-up, when I got this here accessory here available next to me. And that's what I wanted to share, that we would not be satisfied just with touching or getting wet, or that we would go on with God to His fullness. Because He says that if you ask, shall be given. If you seek, shall find. If you knock, He said it will be opened to Him. So just a few more. I want to read this here in closing. We can turn to Romans 8. I told you I didn't have a whole lot. But my heart is today that we're not. I want to say first, I think that God prompted this in my heart, because I feel that sometimes I was being content without the fullness of God. And I just praise the Lord for laying this in my heart. I have a desire, and I have a need to go on a deeper walk. In Romans 8 here, I want to read this here in closing. And most of you know what that is. It's a life in the Spirit. I just want to read this down to 27 or 28, and I'm going to just take my seat. It says, there is therefore no condemnation to them that are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit is life in Christ Jesus, hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending his own Son in the likeness of the sinful flesh, and for sin, he condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. For they that are after the flesh, they do mind the things of the flesh. Those that are in the flesh, they will do the things. They love to do the things that are of the flesh. But they that are after the Spirit, it says the things of the Spirit, those that are walking in the Spirit, we love to do the things that are in the Spirit, things that for Christ, and we hate iniquity and we love righteousness. 6, it says, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. Because a carnal mind is enmity against God. For it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they are in the flesh, cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. If Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. But if the Spirit of him that raised up Jesus from the dead dwelleth in you, and he that raised up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal bodies by his Spirit that dwelleth in you. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live after the flesh. For if you live after the flesh, it says that you shall die. And we know it's talking about more than just a physical death. It's talking about eternal death, which is hell. But if you through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, you shall live. For as many are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the Spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the suffering of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. And I marvel at this verse. It just stuck out to me right now that many people say that a Christian life is too hard. But here Paul says that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared. Which we know that it's not. Christian life is so much glorious than the life of sin. And I know that most of us can testify of that. The 19 says, for the earnest expectation of the creature waiteth for the manifestation of the sons of God. For the creature was made subject to vanity, not willingly, but by reason of him who has subject the same in hope. Because the creature itself also shall be delivered from the bondage of corruption into the glorious liberty of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation groaneth and travaileth in pain together until now. And not only they, but ourselves also, which have the first fruits of the Spirit, even we ourselves groan within ourselves, waiting for their adoption to witness the redemption of our body. For we are saved by hope, but hope that is seen is not hope. For what a man seeth, why doth he yet hope for? But if we hope for that we see not, then do we do with patience wait for it? Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities. For we know not what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with the groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. And we know all things that work together for God, for good to them that love God, to them who are the calling according to his purpose. And I just want to leave you with that. And if I did say anything wrong, saying that I shouldn't have, I would welcome your admonishing or correction on this. And I do pray that, I don't know, seem like there's so many other verses that when you go in through the Spirit and start looking at, that could have been shared. And I just felt that this is the way the Lord took me. So I just pray that you were blessed. And my heart is not to add condemnation, but to just inspire us on into the fullness. And Because God has greater things for me. I know He does. In this life, I say this cautiously, that if I continue willingly obey the Spirit when God speaks, you know, let's not hinder the work of God in us. May God bless you.